Even in the dark, Maledict's teeth gleamed as he smiled.
"The world's certainly unfolding itself for you, eh, Ozer? Every day something new. Cross-dressing now, I see."
"What?"
"You are wearing a petticoat, Ozer," said Maledict, stepping into the bar.
Polly looked down guiltily and started to tug it off, and then thought, "Hang on a moment." The sergeant had managed to pull himself up against the bar where he was being sick. The captain was groaning on the floor.
"Good evening, gentlemen," said the vampire. "Please pay attention. I am a reformed vampire, which is to say, I am a bundle of suppressed instincts held together with spit and coffee. It would be wrong to say that violent, tearing carnage does not come easily to me. It's not tearing your throats out that doesn't come easily to me. Please don't make it any harder."
The sergeant pushed himself away from the bar top and took a muzzy swing at Maledict. Almost absent-mindedly, Maledict leaned away from it and then returned a roundhouse blow that knocked him over.
"The captain looks bad," he said. "What did he try to do to poor little you?"
"Patronise me," said Polly, glaring at Maledict.
"Ah,"
said the vampire. Maledict knocked softly on the barracks door. It opened a fraction, and then all the way. Carborundum lowered his club. Wordlessly, Polly and Maledict dragged the two cavalrymen inside. Sergeant Jackram was sitting on a stool by the fire, drinking a mug of beer.
"Well done, lads," he said. "Put 'em with the others."
He waved the mug vaguely toward the far wall, where four of the soldiers cowered under the gaze of Tonka. They had been manacled together. The last soldier was lying on a table, with Igor at work on him with a needle and thread.
"How's he coming along, Private?" said Jackram.
"He'll be fine, Sarge," said Igor. "It looked worse than it was, really. Just as well, because until we get to the battlefield, I won't get any spares."
"Got a couple of legs for old three parts," said Jackram.
"Now then, Sarge, none of that," said Scallet evenly.
He was sitting on the other side of the fireplace.
"You just leave me their horses and saddles. Your lads could do with their sabres, I've no doubt."
"They were looking for us, Sarge," said Polly. "We're just a bunch of untrained recruits, and they were looking for us. I could have been killed, Sarge."
"No, I know talent when I sees it," said Jackram. "Well done, lad. Had to piss off myself on account of a big man in full enemy uniform isn't easy to miss. Besides, you lads needed to be woke up. That's military thinking, that is."
"But if I hadn't," Polly hesitated, "if I hadn't tricked them, they might have killed the lieutenant."
"See, there's always a positive side any way you look at it," said Scallet.
The sergeant stood up, wiped his mouth on the back of his hand, and hitched up his belt. He ambled over to the captain, reached down and lifted him up by his jacket.
"Why were you looking for these boys, sir?" he inquired.
The captain opened his eye and focused on the fat man.
"I am an officer and a gentleman, sergeant," he muttered. "There are rules."
"Not many gentlemen around here at this moment, sir," said the sergeant.
"Damned right," whispered Maledict.
Polly, feeling drunk with relief and released tension, had to put her hand over her mouth to stop giggling.
"Oh, yeah, the rules. Prisoners of war and that," Jackram went on. "That means you even have to eat the same things as us, you poor devils. So you're not going to talk to me?"
"I am. Captain Horrence of the 1st Heavy Dragoons. I'll say nothing more."
And something about the way he said it elbowed Polly in the brain. He's lying. Jackram stared at him blankly for a moment and then said,
"Well now, it looks like what we have here is an embuggerance, which, my lads of the cheesemongers, is defined as an obstruction in the way of progress. I propose to deal with it in this wise."
He let go of the man's jacket, and the captain fell back. Sergeant Jackram removed his hat. Then he removed his jacket too, revealing a stained shirt and bright red suspenders. He was still almost spherical. From his neck, folds of skin lapped their way down to the tropical regions. The belt must have been there just to conform to regulations, Polly thought. He reached up and undid a piece of string from around his neck. It was looped through a hole in a tarnished coin.
"Corporal Scallet," he said,